All right, let's get in our Bibles here this morning. We're going to go to Isaiah 53 for our message here this morning. Isaiah 53, I'm going to preach on verses 1, 2, and 3, and I want to preach on this subject, hard to believe, hard to believe. You say, well, salvation is supposed to be easy to believe. That's all we got to do. That is true. But I think... I just thought about this. Our brother Tripp, whenever he was here preaching revival, remember, he preached something about it hard to believe. I mean, that God would send his son to come out and die on the cross. It's hard to believe and comprehend that God would. And that's really the idea that Isaiah has here, and we want to look at this. I'm going to go through this chapter, by the way, I think, go further into this chapter in the message tonight. But we're going to stay in the early verses here this morning. And if you're able, let's stand. We're going to read the first few verses here this morning. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed. We esteemed him not. Let's read a couple more. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Like I say, we'll go further into it tonight, but let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless now, and the reading of your word and our hearing today, and guide and direct this, Lord, to say the right words as we preach on this subject this morning. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Hard to believe. Isaiah opened up with those two questions. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, the arm of the Lord was revealed to the nation of Israel, his people, in a great and mighty way and many, many times. Amen. Isn't that true? God revealed himself to his people so many times. God revealed his strength. The strong arm of God was revealed to Israel so many times, and even thinking forward to the coming of Christ, which is what this is about, the Lord Jesus Christ declared God the Father to the people in person. He was revealed. But the first question, who hath believed our report? Well, the ones to whom it was revealed, Israel, are also the ones who would not believe it. Israel. Doesn't the Bible say God came into his own and his own received him not? Isn't it true that to this day, Israel as a nation, the people of God, are still awaiting their Messiah? Because they did not receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah, which is hard to believe. That's hard to believe. I mean, if you know the life of Christ, and you know the crucifixion of Christ, and you read what Isaiah said, you say, well, that fits perfectly to Jesus Christ. And all of the Old Testament prophecies about the first and second coming of Jesus, but primarily the first coming of Jesus from his birth to his death, all of those prophecies fit perfectly the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Isaiah said, who's going to believe our reports? Who's going to believe this prophecy? You know, the prophets, they had a hard time. I think Isaiah was frustrated. Jeremiah was frustrated. Their reports and their preaching and their prophecies and their messages were often neglected. unbelief was a real big problem. They were scoffed at and they were ridiculed. And so he just finally, maybe in frustration, says, who will believe our report? He might have even been saying, I'm having a hard time believing what I'm saying right now. Because his idea of the coming Messiah probably didn't fit what we read right here in Isaiah 53. And I won't get too far ahead of myself, but keep that thought in mind because that's definitely the way it was. This prophecy in Isaiah 53, this is the heart of Isaiah, if you will. It's the heart of the gospel in the Old Testament. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, giving himself for sinful men. So again, Isaiah likely had a hard time comprehending what he was writing. He probably had a hard time believing what he was putting down on the scroll right there himself. It would not be fulfilled for another 700 years, what he was talking about right here. So he couldn't see it come to pass, and he couldn't fully perhaps understand it. You and I have the benefit of looking back and seeing how it all fits together. But the description here just, it doesn't seem to fit what they thought they would be getting in the Messiah. This Messiah that he's talking about is not even very attractive. Now, I understand, I'll say more about this in a moment, but I understand a lot of this is describing the crucifixion, but I think a lot of this is just describing Jesus as an average person, not the king, not the soldier, not the Messiah that they were expecting. That's why there was a lot of rejection. That's why I think Judas Iscariot didn't follow him any farther than he did, because he expected a leader, a revolt against Rome that oppressed them at the time. And folks, what they had in mind was the second coming of Christ, and they failed to see the first coming of Christ, which is what Isaiah is talking about here. So it was hard for them to believe or to comprehend what was going on right here. Now, I believe this, folks. I believe the Bible depicts Jesus Christ as the perfect man. In fact, I know it does. He is the perfect man. But you know what? That doesn't necessarily mean the perfect man in looks. No, nobody knows what Jesus looks like, by the way. There are no photographs. You say, yeah, it is. I got one on my wall. There are no photographs of Jesus. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like. Nobody was taking pictures. And I think the pictures that we have came along a long time later. We don't know what he looks like. I don't think he looked like a hippie myself either, you know, and he kind of looks like that thing wasn't painted until the 1960s in America, you know, but the picture that we have of Jesus. But anyway, nobody knows, but I do believe this. I know this. He was a perfect man. He was a sinless man. He was perfect in every way, but I don't know what he looked like. Now, I know, again, a lot of this is describing the gory details that he was beyond recognition in the crucifixion. But I think it really almost just depicts a normal, average, maybe not even attractive type of an individual that we have here of Jesus. Just a humble man living a basic life. I really don't think he would have been what we call today Hollywood material for the next superstar. Or what used to, there was a standard. You had to be good looking, man or woman. Now it seems to me like they went in the opposite direction because of inclusive stuff. And now, anyway, say no more, right? I don't want to get on that subject, but it's almost like the pretty people aren't popular anymore. I'll just say that. Boy, I'm going the wrong way there, amen. But what we think about with Hollywood and the standard of beauty, I don't know that Jesus would have been what they were looking for. I think he may have just been an average looking individual. Now, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians, and I think this fits. Paul said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Now, Jesus wasn't foolish by no means, but to the world he was. And you are too, by the way, for believing him. But it wasn't, again, what they would have expected. He used the foolish things to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised. In other words, God's not out looking for what Hollywood's looking for. God's not out looking for the best looking person. You know, in fact, I think Samson, the strongest man in the world, probably was just an average, skinny, average little guy. He was not the modern day bodybuilder that we would depict Samson to be. And everybody was amazed at the strength that little guy had. He was just I don't think there was anything about him that would say, you know, he can be the next Hulk in our next movie. He doesn't fit the part, you know. But he had enormous strength. Why? God gave it to him and God got the glory, not Samson. The Bible even depicts, by the way, that the Apostle Paul was not much to look at. The Bible gives some descriptions about Paul where some of the criticism about him was he was just a little short, ugly guy, couldn't see very well, and you know all of that, but yet he's a brilliant man that God used, and he's the one that just wrote those words I just read to you. I'm just saying Jesus may have been fit that as well, as far as the kind of individual or person that he was. The world's looking for outward beauty, but God's looking for inward beauty and purity and character, right? God's measurement is different from the measurement that mankind gives today. So, you know what that means to us? If you're normal, average today, that's okay. Amen? That's just fine. In fact, from everything I just said, all preachers must be pretty ugly from what everything I just said. But that's okay. Start saying it's biblical. But no, anyway. No, but to be average, don't worry about it. Well, I got to live up to this standard. And I got to, you know, teenage girls are, you know, got to have this, got to be that, got to look that. No, you don't. Be yourself. Be who God made you. Amen? And God's looking for inward beauty and character more than he's looking for the outward beauty. Amen? So anyway, I'm just trying to give you some ideas here about what this description of Jesus, it says there was no comeliness or beauty. You say, well, that's crucifixion. I don't know that all of it was, and the Bible depicts this, okay? But it's a report not so easy to believe. The Messiah, when he came in Jesus, just was not what they were looking for, even though they could go back and read Isaiah 53 and say, well, you know what? Maybe he did fit what Isaiah said. He's not the king. He's not the soldier. He's not the super strong individual that we were looking for. But you know what? If you go back and read that one that Isaiah wrote about him, he does fit. But it was hard for them to comprehend. Now again, Old Testament prophecies intertwine first coming, second coming. I mean, you can go from one verse or phrase to the next, and you have to discern or decipher, were they talking about the first coming of Christ or the second coming of Christ? Were they talking about the humble servant of Jesus Christ who came to die on the cross, or are they talking about the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, second coming that we're looking for today? You have to discern which one they're looking for. And it almost seems as if in the time of Jesus, when he came proclaiming to be the Messiah, that they're thinking second coming. They're thinking King of Kings, Lord of Lords, overthrow Rome that has us under oppression and control. And you just don't fit the bill. It was hard to believe. Again, Isaiah probably had a hard time believing it here. So they were confused when Jesus showed up. They were expecting something else. Probably. He was not the conqueror that they sought. He said he came to be a savior. I'm glad for the first coming of Jesus and the church age, even though the prophets may not have understood it and the early church was even surprised by it. I'm glad, and we're still in that church age of grace today and still looking for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I fully expect him to come at any time. Amen. The prophecies about the first coming, although they perhaps were overlooked, were fulfilled in Jesus. So likely, again, it was hard for the prophets. Who hath believed our report? And he might have been thinking, who in the world is going to believe what I'm writing down right now? Because this just doesn't fit the Messiah. This just doesn't sound like the promised, not just Savior, but Deliverer. They weren't thinking about a spiritual Savior, they were thinking about a strong deliverer, is what they had in mind. So he's like, who believes this report? Who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? Well, it's been revealed to Israel many times, many ways, but they haven't believed it. And truth of the matter is, most nations and people don't believe it. You know, the Bible says there's a narrow way that leads to life everlasting. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. That's the unbelievers. There's a remnant that believes. So it's kind of hard to believe. Well, taking these descriptions of Jesus, so let's go back and look at it today. Number one, let me say this. Jesus was born into humility. Born into humility. Now, if you look back at verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. A tender plant is just a small, weak bush. A small, weak flower, even, if you will. Well, wait a minute. The Messiah is going to be a towering tree. A towering, strong oak tree. Isaiah said he's just a tender plant. Isn't it amazing that Jesus came into the world as a baby? A helpless baby. Born to a poor family. Born in a stable and placed in a feed trough, manger, for a crib. He was born into humility. Again, this doesn't fit the picture. It's hard to believe. Isn't he supposed to come on the scene as a conquering king? Well, he will later, but right here, a tender plant. He's described as just a small, tender plant. A baby. A gentle baby who I believe grew up, as it says here, he grew up to be a gentle man. I believe he was a gentleman. I believe his demeanor probably was soft and not harsh. Y'all listening to me today? I'm probably giving you a different picture than you ever thought of. His demeanor was not so harsh and mean. It was, which was common in the day of the dictators, the rulers, and even the priests and the scribes and the religious leaders. But he was more soft in his demeanor. I believe this. Jesus was a man's man. He was strong. A strong man. He wasn't a pushover. But you know what? He didn't have our modern day macho image or attitude about him. Y'all agree with that? I don't think he was out to impress anybody. I don't think he was out to show how strong he was, like men get caught up in oftentimes today. And we got to have this macho image thing going on. It's okay to be average and to be kind and to be a gentleman. Y'all here today? And I believe Jesus was that. I believe Jesus was the perfect balance. The Bible talks about strength and beauty. That's a balance if you got both of those. The Bible talks about truth and grace. You need both of those. Amen? Sometimes we got a lot of truth, and we come across with not much grace. And we got a lot of truth, and we got truth about hell, and that's where you're headed, and that's where you're going, buddy, if you don't straighten up. And we forget to give grace and love. Jesus died on the cross because he loved you that much. And sometimes preachers that we've had for all these years, sometimes they preach angry. There needs to be grace and truth. Amen? I believe Jesus was the perfect balance of all of that. I don't think he was the kind of person that people looked at and said, boy, there's a man's man and he's strong and I'm afraid of him. No, I believe he was approachable. I believe he was the perfect balance of all of those things. The Bible says he was a man who cared for other people. The Bible says that he was a man who took time for the children. Amen, aren't you glad of that? He was a man who took time for the needy. He wasn't high and mighty and above everybody and telling, you know, children, I don't have time for that. Needy people, I don't have... No, he took time for that. He shed tears for his nation and his people. That's okay too, right? That's okay too. He wept for that. The Bible says he was just a humble servant. He wasn't desiring the lead role. He wasn't seeking authority. He wasn't looking for the limelight. Now, he got it because of the miracles and things he did. But again, it wasn't anything showy about it. He was just a man living his life. as far as others were concerned. The Bible doesn't even tell us much about his upbringing. It says here he grew up as a tender plant. I'm trying to hold myself back. I'm about to get into point two, and I ain't there yet. Humble servant. He didn't desire all of that. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man. That's how he described himself, the Son of Man. He was Son of God. But he described himself as the Son of Man. He was one of us. He came to be one of us, right? And he was just the Son of Man. That described his humanity. The Bible says the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus would help you. Jesus would not look down on you. Jesus would weep with you and for you. Jesus was a kind, compassionate, soft demeanor perhaps, kind of an individual. Now that speaks to my heart, because I want to tell you, we get our idea of manhood, speaking of Hollywood, we get our idea of manhood from Hollywood. And by the way, I like the way it used to be with John Wayne more than what they're putting out there today. Amen. I'd rather see you act like John Wayne than some of the things they promote today. Amen. But Jesus, again, he was a balance. He was the perfect balance. But he was a tender plant, the Bible says. Tender, compassionate. He was loving. You know, you might get your idea of manhood from what you read or see, or you probably get your idea of manhood from your own father, if most people do, or whatever father figure you had, or Hollywood, or whatever's depicted out there. It's kind of where you get your idea of manhood from. But isn't it best to get it from the Bible and Jesus, the perfect man? I'm not saying the perfect man in looks. I don't know. He may have been the best looking man that ever walked. I don't know. But I don't think that's what this describes. I always say Adam had to been the best looking man that ever walked. He was the first perfect man, right? I want to see what he looks like up there in heaven. Amen. But Jesus, I think there was just something average about him, appearance-wise. But he went so much deeper than appearance. And we need to learn that lesson too, by the way. Nothing wrong with being a humble servant. Nothing wrong with being a gentleman. Nothing wrong with being someone who cares and can even shed a tear for your nation and loved ones, right? Amen? Nothing. Y'all with me today? Y'all okay with that? Is that right? Am I telling it right? I think so. I believe it's okay. That it doesn't have to be all of that. I don't like a sissy, and I ain't telling you to be a sissy, and I ain't saying Jesus was either. Amen? So don't get me wrong. I said he's got a balance that sometimes we don't have. He had the perfect balance. But I'm saying he was just a tender plant. Raised up, if you will, or born into humility, just a baby. Born into a poor family. Just a tender plant is what Jesus was. Born into humility. But let me say number two, Jesus was raised in obscurity. That verse 2, it says this, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and notice this phrase, and as a root out of a dry ground. Listen to that. A root out of dry ground. All right. Picture your flower garden right now. You might have a beautiful flower garden, and it's coming along. You've got potting soil in there. You've got fertilizer in there. You've got beautiful flowers in there. Don't look at mine. I'm talking about yours. Amen. And it's just beautiful, and it's blooming, and boy, and maybe your flower garden or your vegetable garden, it's looking good, right? But now you're walking along, and things are kind of dry and barren, and there's a little root sticking up out of the ground. You're not impressed. It doesn't do anything for you. Nobody expects anything out of that little root in dry, barren ground, right? Are you waiting for a flower to pop up out of that? Are you waiting for a strong tree to come up out of that? Are you waiting for a nice shrubbery to come up out of that? No, you're probably just going to discard it, or you're going to cut it off or chop it off. You're not paying no attention to a root in barren ground. There's no promise really there. Show me a beautiful flower garden. I don't expect anything out of just a root sticking up out of dry ground. I really don't. Well, you know, that's obscure. And I said Jesus was raised up in obscurity. I already said his youth, childhood, teenage lives, years, we don't hear nothing about them. Yeah, some people don't get past teenage years. Boy, that was it. That, you know, everything was all about that. Bible doesn't even tell us about it. That's not what it's about. We hear about his adult life when he was 30 years old. But he was raised up in obscurity. We just don't see a whole lot about it. But he was just a root out of a dry ground. Now, where did he grow up? He grew up in Nazareth. And Nathanael said to Philip, whenever he heard about the Messiah coming out of Nazareth, he said, "That's hard to believe. You're telling me the Messiah is from Nazareth?" He said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth? It is basically nothing but a root out of dry ground. There's nothing to Nazareth. I don't expect anything good to come out of that root out of dry ground. I don't expect anything good to come out of that small village of Nazareth. Far as we know, no prophets came out of there, but Jesus came from there." It's just hard to believe. Jesus didn't look the part. Nazareth didn't fit the part. Not a poor kid from a small town of Nazareth. And if you think about it, even Israel itself was despised, and by the way, still is today. Yet it's God's chosen place, it's the apple of God's eye, it's God's chosen people, but yet it's despised to this day. Nobody really expected anything coming out of that place of Nazareth or Israel. Give me a flower garden in good soil, not just a root out of dry dirt. I don't see that. That is barren. That is not respected. Israel and Jerusalem and all of that just overrun by Rome at the time of Christ. It just doesn't fit. It's hard to believe that this is where the Messiah would come from. You ever heard, never judge a book by its cover? Boy, that's definitely true in this case. Amen. Hey, just a root out of dry ground. But I tell you what, he did become everything. Amen. And he will be the King of Kings. He didn't look the part, but he was the part. Amen. He didn't look what we might expect or what we might think he would be. But as the gospel show, and as the church today shows, and as prophecy yet to be fulfilled will show, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. But he didn't look that way. He didn't start out that way. I think it was hard to believe. He says, who has believed our report? And who's going to believe this one? He was born in humility. He was raised up in obscurity. And let me say number three, Jesus lived in simplicity. Simple life. All right, let's look at verse 2 again. He grew up before him as tender plant, a root out of dry ground. And look at this. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, again, you say, well, that's the crucifixion. I don't know. I don't know that it is. I think it's talking about the whole picture of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. No form nor comeliness. He lived simplicity. No, there was no pomp. There was no royalty. Hey, he's the King of all kings. No royalty for him. Except on Palm Sunday when they cried Hosanna to the King. But then a few days later, they're talking about crucifying. They turned on him that fast. He just had that 15 minutes of fame on that one day we call Palm Sunday, if you will. As being lifted up as who he really is. You know, he had enjoyed heaven forever. But he gave up heaven for a time so that you and I could go there for eternity. Amen? And he just became, as Philippians 2, he no form about him. He took on the form of a servant. He was equal with God, but yet he didn't present himself in that fashion. He just took on the form of a servant. He became one of us. Aren't you glad he did it? Amen? He left heaven. He left the glories of heaven, nothing majestic, nothing splendid, nothing elaborate, just a humble servant, a carpenter, a hard-working blue-collar individual is what he was, growing up in the carpenter's home. The Son of God, yet he's the son of Joseph as far as his earth was concerned, nothing special going on there. right? He lived a life of simplicity. What do you do? What are you supposed to do with your life? Well, you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be wealthy. You're supposed to be famous. You're supposed to have fame and fortune. No, you're not. You're supposed to go to work and pay the bills this week, this month. Amen? Just a life of simplicity. If you can go beyond that, amen, thank God for it. But you know, we're just to occupy ourselves a day at a time, the Bible says. That's how Jesus lived his life. Well, we're looking for a king. You're telling me this guy named Jesus from Nazareth is our Messiah? That's hard to believe. They just could not get it. They could not see it. And it became a life of extreme adversity. You know, actually in chapter 52, verse 14, right on down through 53, describes a hard life. It uses words like sorrow and rejection. It describes ridicule. It ended in a cruel crucifixion. It describes somebody who was you could not describe or recognize once he got to that point of crucifixion. Palm Sunday, we're thinking about it. You know, this week he died for us. Amen. It became a life of extreme adversity. Nothing splendid. He said nothing beautiful in it. No form nor comeliness that we should desire him. Looking on that cross. Wait a minute. We're looking for a king to come, and now he's on a cross getting crucified by Rome. This is hard to believe. That's not what we're looking for. Hey, aren't you glad God's wiser than us and his thoughts are higher than ours and he knows stuff we don't know? Amen. Even when these prophets were writing it all down, God knew stuff about what they were writing down that they didn't understand what they were writing down. I'm glad, folks, that we have the mysteries unfolded in the New Testament. I'm glad we have Paul unfolding the mysteries of the Old Testament in the New Testament so that you and I can know that is exactly God's plan. Yes, he will be the King of Kings forever and ever. Yes, he will return again in that fashion. We're looking for that. We expect that. And they describe that, but they also told us about a Savior that would come and die for the sins of mankind. Just be a humble servant, helping, but doing more than helping. He came to be a Savior. Well, that's what we're describing. And next week we'll talk about the resurrection, but right now, he just came to be our Savior. It's hard to believe, but you know what? You must believe it. Your soul's eternal destination depends on believing it. Who has heard our report? Who has believed our report? You've heard it. Have you believed it? Have you believed on Jesus as your Savior? Have you received Jesus Christ as the one that was promised? It's hard to believe it. We got to believe it. Well, because it is God's message. It is His gospel. It is His plan of salvation. It might be hard to believe that the pure, holy God of heaven came down here to live and walk in our shoes and fulfill the Old Testament law like none of us could ever do. And then to die to pay for our sins. And we know now that God commendeth His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ, the Messiah, died for us. He paid the penalty for our sins. And all we got to do is believe on Him. It's hard to believe. You better believe it. That's the way of salvation. Amen? That's what we must believe. It was the righteous dying for the unrighteous. Salvation of sinful men by the undeserved, unmerited, amazing grace of God in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. A tender plant. No form nor comeliness that we would desire Him. But that's what God sent. Now we exalt Him. Don't get me wrong today. Don't get me wrong. We're going to worship the Savior forevermore. Amen. Don't misunderstand my words today. But I'm just saying what Isaiah said about Him, it's almost hard to believe. We lift Jesus up today as the perfect, righteous Son of God. But His earthly life, folks, He was tempted in all points like as we. You're going through a hard time, He's been there. You've been ridiculed, you've been rejected, you've been betrayed, He's been there. You've been in pain, He knows about it. Emotional pain, physical pain, spiritual pain, He knows about all of that. He lived it. And that's why we worship Him today, because He also overcame it. Now He's there to help us overcome it. And He's interceding for us. Amen? There's more about that as we go deeper into it, which I'll do tonight. But right now, it's hard to believe, but have you believed Isaiah's report of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Have you believed to the point that you have trusted Him? I already said, He went into His own received Him not. So many have not believed yet to this day. Have you, though? That's the important question right now. Have you believed on Jesus? Do you know Him, without a shadow of a doubt, to be your Lord and your Savior? The one depicted in the Bible. And by the way, again, get your idea of Jesus from the Word of God. He is the Word. Amen? And let's get our idea of who He is from right here. I hope you'll see Jesus today as the humble servant that loves you and the amazing Savior that died for you and the Lord and the King who's coming back to get us. Amen? Don't let it be so hard to believe that you don't believe it, because you got to believe it to go to heaven. Trust Him to be your Savior. Amen? Let's bow our heads this morning, please. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for what He shows us and reveals to us in His Word. Dear Father, we thank You for Jesus today. We thank You for sending Your Son. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for coming and living on this earth, going through a poor life of ridicule and rejection, succumbing to Your Father's plan, dying on a cross, suffering so that we might be saved. And Lord, I pray for every person here today, God, that nobody would leave here lost. But Lord, we would know and understand You came to show us how to live this life and to provide eternal life. We thank You for it today. And I pray again, if there's some here today that need to receive You as their Savior, I pray they'll do that. If there's some here today that need to rededicate themselves to You, I pray they'll do that today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand this morning. Heads are bowed. Well, music plays. If you need to come this morning, I invite you to come. Amen. You can lift your heads and be seated for a moment today.